Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job One for Humanity, Climate Restabilization.
Come visit UniverseSpirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
Well, it's June 16, 2015. Who knew? This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, where clothing is optional. Imagine that. Well, maybe you don't want to imagine it. But the truth is always naked, and that you can imagine. I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. We welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation, a few laughs, several spiritual perspectives, and as many surprises as possible.
Our time tonight is sponsored by Go Raw. Have you tried them? It's just amazing what they're able to do with sprouted essences showing up in the form of food that's really good for you and tastes so great. So check out Go Raw, and thank you for sponsoring our program tonight.
And Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods and the organic section of Costco. Go to goraw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood.
We've got quite a show planned for tonight, don't we, Rochelle? We're going to show and tell.
I don't know if it's planned at all, actually, other than just showing up and talking to each other. You plan the music to go with the show, and the show tonight is about not necessarily. Just think how many times you say that in your life. Not necessarily. We're going to explore all the ways we can use it in our conversation when we're talking to each other, strangers, friends, whoever.
Not necessarily, because the way I was looking at it was, when you think of necessarily, and there's also necessity and needs, what we need versus what we desire, and who decides. All of those are major, major issues that we want to be able to explore and ascertain. Ascertain, by the way, is the word for tonight, because I haven't used it in a long time.
Get $100 from the duck?
Not necessarily.
How about 25?
Maybe. For those of you who don't remember the duck, you might remember Groucho Marx. He had a show called You Bet Your Life. And he would interview, he would have questions of people, but it was just really a vehicle for him to be funny. Groucho Marx. If they said a word, a duck came down on a string.
A word that was decided by the producers, for that would be the word of the evening, like ascertain.
Yeah.
Quack, 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 quack.
Thank you. So what do you need, all you folks out there? What is the nature of need? I actually heard or read, I think it was in the book Conversations with God. He said that nothing is required. And I also read a similar remark in the Yeshua books by Glenda Green, where he says, you need nothing. And in A Course in Miracles, it says you need do nothing. So it raises up the whole issue of need, and we're obviously contexting it within a larger frame of our cosmic life here in the universe, as well as our little mortal life here dealing with stuff.
Well, not necessarily. I have more fun doing that. What is necessary? That's what comes into play more for me than anything else. It's necessary in our life. We had a conversation with the father of our producer. He was talking about the most important thing in life. What's really important? And we went through all these marvelously
philosophical
answers. And he said, grandchildren. That's what the purpose of life. Having grandchildren took me a while to even understand why he would say that. Then I realized because you're carrying on. It's necessary for the species to carry on. That's what we've been programmed to do, to make babies, to carry on the generations, to keep it going, to keep life going. Beautiful people have an obligation to create more beautiful people.
So this is a warning to all you ugly people out there. That was just a little aside.
That's not necessarily so. Really? I wasn't talking about ugly people, like beautiful and ugly, like that kind of thing. I was talking about beautiful people, people who have a sense of their own continuation. That's a beautiful thing. Well, Is that what they physically look like?
Well, I wasn't referring to what they physically look like either, and I'm glad you clarified that, because it's important that we realize the nature of need and how it actually applies and to what extent we have need. Like sometimes the need is so pressing that we could die. We're suffocated. We're motivated to do things that are less than moral, for example, or brutal even, and cruel. So there's all these needs that drive us into these behaviors. The lust need, the hunger need, the thirst need, the need to feel good about myself need. There's just all kinds of ways in which we feel we have need. Go ahead.
I want to pose a question.
Okay.
Is need necessary?
Not necessarily.
Ah!
It's as necessary as we make it. Okay, there's two tracks that I want to look at to analyze this, and we're going to analyze it. This is Jack the Analyzer just stepping in here for just a minute. And I just want to do some analyzing because I need to analyze, because if I'm not analyzing, then I can't satisfy my anal nature. That's why anal and analyzing are in a similar word frame. Analyzing. That's what I like to do in analyzing. One of the things I've analyzed is that there's basically the now, then there's the movement of life passing through the now. One is like still. I like the word quiescent. You is a good one. It's almost as good as ascertained, don't you think?
Almost.
In the movements of life, where we feel the pangs of evolution escorting us through this universal phenomena called life, actually. It's there that we become aware or start to encounter this feeling of need. Okay. What do you think of those two perspectives? In the now, you're just centered right here. Do you need anything? Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Then there's life and money and people and obligations and hungers and disease and quests and avoidances and feelings and all that stuff going on out there. And it triggers this impulse. Boy, I need to do something about that quick. Like if there's a raging beast right on your tail, you'd pretty much feel a need to move along.
Or kill the beast. Fight or flight. When your life is on the line, it's pretty clear. But then, what's our life? Is our life a set of images that we have created that are necessary for our survival of that image? The things that are necessary for our survival are air, water, and food.
Apparently.
Then there's things that are necessary for the survival of the ego. Images of who we think we are. All those things, they're necessary to us in that moment because they define us in many ways. So we have to keep them going, and we have to do whatever we can to make them stay alive. Is that necessarily so?
Sometimes following that track is like going in the wrong direction. Thank you.
hit the things I did, we're hitting onto the grid. Young and naive, I never believed that love could be so well hid. With regret, I'm willing to bet, say the oldie again. It gets harder to forgive and harder to forget. It gets under your shirt like a dagger of work. The first cut is the deepest, but the rest are flipping hurt. You build your heart of plastic, you're cynical and sarcastic, and end up in the corner on your own. Cause I love to feel loved, but I can't stand the rejection. I hide behind my jokes as a form of protection. I thought I was close, but under further inspection, it seems I've been running in the wrong direction. Oh no. Getting your hopes up when all you're ever getting is choked up. When you're coked up and can't remember the reason why it broke up, you call her in the morning when you're coming down and falling like an old man on the side of the road. Cause when you're apart you don't wanna mingle, when you're together you wanna be single. Ever the chase to taste the kiss of bliss that made your heart tingle. How much greener the grass is with those rose tinted glasses, but the butterflies they flutter by and leave us on our asses. Oh, I love to feel loved, but I can't stand the rejection. I hide behind the jokes as a form of protection. I thought I was close, but under further inspection, it seems I've been running in the wrong direction. I love to feel loved, but I can't stand the rejection. I hide behind my jokes as a form of protection. And I thought I was close, but under further inspection, it seems I've been running in the wrong direction. I've been running in the wrong direction.
That was a guy by the name of Passenger. Going in the wrong direction.
We are, aren't we?
That's the universe's way of telling you when you're heading a certain direction. Not necessarily. One of the things that I've thought about is this dynamic where the universe is trying to guide us through pleasure and pain, because we definitely try to avoid one and we're in hot pursuit of the other. This is past, not necessarily. But I sometimes think that if we're paying close attention, the first sign of this ain't necessarily the way you want to be going or the thing you want to be thinking about, etc., is a little nudge from the universe that's like a bumpiness, feeling of a little abrasion. It's a little tick. It's like a mosquito hovering around your head and you want to just flick it away. You're looking at me like...
What is the mosquito?
Something that's nudging you to move in a different direction, different response in the form of small pain. And then if we don't listen, I wonder if the universe raises the pain, because if we continue to go in the same wrong direction, then it would get more and more abrasive, my life.
What if the right and wrong direction is not really determinable by you? In other words, you take a fork in a road and it looks like the wrong direction, and all of a sudden it's not what you were thinking of and it doesn't look like anything enjoyable. And yet that's the thing that shapes you the most. That's the thing that creates your greatest compassion, creates your greatest strength, the adversarial situation, the situation that you didn't want. Is it a wrong direction? What do I deem as necessary to feel good? How I deal with adversarial situations, when I deal with them in such a way that they don't cause me pain, because I choose not to be in such resistance to them that I feel like all my energy is pushing against them, which causes a lot of pain in my body and my psyche. But when I don't do that, when I don't resist it and I'm just open to it, I experience pleasure in a different way, not pleasure that's temporal, but joy.
Not necessarily.
For whom?
I'm thinking about someone, for example, who's just kind of coasting along, just doing their day-to-day thing, don't really raise these kind of questions or have these kind of concerns. They're not really in much pain, or they're drugged out or tuned out. Yeah, that was it. Just living your life. You're just going along. Do you care? I want to say to that person, and I can almost hear that person saying, well, not necessarily. I can understand that. Do they care about delving into these issues the way we are? I'm just kind of stepping outside and asking that question. And they might say, not necessarily. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a listener right now, or listener Fred. Fred, can we talk for just a second? Yeah, this is Fred. And, I'm just paying the bills. Drinking, and we like to drink beer. I'm part of a men's group, and we eat and drink beer. Take care of our kids and everything, and shop when we need to, and try and stay closer and closer to the bathroom. That's pretty much it. Okay, Fred.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's a perfectly fine thing.
Who said it was bad, darling?
I just thought that you were equating raising all these issues is a good thing, and not raising them is not a good thing.
Not necessarily, no.
There are people who raise issues, and there are people who don't. We raise issues. We raise them so we can look at them, because if we don't raise them, they're too far away to see. So we raise them up, and we look at them, and we go, oh, my God, why do we do that? What's that about? I mean, we ask those questions, you and I. That's what we're about. That's why we do a program like Insight Out, because we want to deal with these questions. We want to talk about them. We want to get into them and play with them and stretch them and move them and bring them close to our heart and our mind and get satisfaction from them. Not necessarily do we get satisfaction. Sometimes we get perplexed, and the perplexing creates new questions and new insights. Because that's what we're about.
Curiosity. That's what we have a lot of. You're actually the most curious person I've ever met. I can say to Rochelle, like now, I could say, Rochelle, there was something I noticed about you today that...
And then I want to kill him because he won't finish the sentence.
Right.
Really want to kill him. I mean, we'd never do that. That would be horrible. I would be bereft.
But that is like a torture of a curious
person. Yes, it's a torture person who doesn't finish a sentence. Or walking out in the middle of a movie. I could never understand how you could possibly do that in a million years.
Well, there you have it.
I have admitted there are certain books that I have not finished reading, because what I've been reading so far has a rhythm to it that doesn't work for me. Then I know that's not going to change. But if there's even the tiniest possibility that it would be different on the next page, I'd keep reading.
That's living on the edge, isn't it? You can see that edge of that page just passing before your eyes in slow motion as you look to the next page and the words start to come into your vision, and you hope that there will be something interesting that will pop off that page that triggers a synapse in your mind that goes, That's what synapses sound like, by the way.
Is that the pleasure synapse?
It's the happy to have some interesting new information, and it's connected to the pleasure synapses. Did you know that the two different kinds of synapses each have their own union?
Not necessarily.
No, people think that all synapses, like one. No, they have several different unions. There's the pleasure synapses union, and then there's the pain, of course. They have a different union. There's all kinds of unions of synapses going off in the brain. Isn't that amazing that there's like billions of these interactions going off in this thing, this, what is it, 8-pound thing on the top of our body? And it happens all the time, millions and millions of interactions, chemically, electrically, cellularly, etc. And here we are just talking at each other.
The thing that absolutely awes me. Is that a word? Can you say awes me?
I don't know, but maybe it is now. That reminds me of the Awes-Me sect, but I won't go into that at this time.
I'm in awe of the fact that we function the way we function. I know we all take it for granted, and we do take it for granted. I guess it takes time to be in awe of something. You have to stop and actually look at it and go, wow. And if you're busy doing what you're doing, you don't have a chance to go, wow. But I am always going, wow, at the fact that we think a thought, that we think any thought. It doesn't even matter what kind of thought it is, but the fact that we think it. I'm in awe of our humanness. I'm in awe of the things we do that are terrible, and I'm in awe of the things we do that are wonderful. The fact that this being, this human being, can do all those things, the range of our humanity in terms of moving from horrific to magnificent, is there for every single human being. I think it's pretty marvelous. If you think it's marvelous, you can call.
Not necessarily.
Why not? Why not? Not necessarily.
This is a little pet peeve gripe I have, and that is people are saying things like, oh, wow, you tied your shoelaces. That's awesome. Or that looks awesome on you. The whole concept of awe has gotten trivialized because the most, and this is a judgment, I admit I have gone into the judgment personality of
but
myself.
But I am not trivializing it. Trivializing it.
So I think that we should reserve awe for things that truly are awesome. Like when your little grandbaby was born there, that was awesome. That's truly awesome. The phenomenon of existence showing
up. When she ties her shoes for the first time, it was going to be awesome.
Yes. You don't want something like awesome to become a cliche. When it drops down to a cliche, it's below the radar of our conscious awareness.
Not necessarily. Only a writer thinks like that. Because for normal people, it does not trivialize the word awesome when they use it. It is awesome. Awesome, dude. It doesn't matter that it may not be awesome to you, but to the person using that word at that moment in time, it really is like a wow. And that's awesome.
I feel a breaking up of my judgment when you say that. I feel and see a willingness, and I begin to recognize what you're talking about. It doesn't matter. It's awesome to them, and as awesome as it is, and the fact that they're even using the word awesome is bringing the whole possibility of awesomeness into the whole situation. But
it ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. Little David was small, but oh my. Little David was small, but oh my. He fought big Goliath, who laid down and died. Little David was small, but oh my. Badu, badu, scat, badu-dip, chim-lip-lip-lip, scatty-wa, scatty-wa. Flitter-de-gummy, got that scoop-a-do, do the gifted say, oom-a-na-go, yo-yo-yo, mo-go-fo-bo, don't-de-go-fo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-boy. Oh, Jonah, he lived in a whale. Jonah, he lived in a whale. He made his home in that fish's abdomen. Jonah, he lived in a whale. Little Moses was found in a stream. Little Moses was found in a stream. He floated on water. Tell old Pharaoh's daughter, she fished him, she said, from that stream. Madu, scatty-wa, scatty-wa. It ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so. To tell all the children the devil's a villain, it ain't necessarily so. To get into heaven, don't snap 4 or 7. Live clean, have no faults. I take the gospel whenever it's possible, but with a grain of salt. Methuselah lived 900 years. Methuselah lived 900 years. But who calls that living when no girl will give in to no man what is 900 years? I'm preaching this sermon to show it ain't nessa, ain't nessa, ain't nessa, ain't nessa, ain't necessarily.
And thank you, Cab Calloway, for reminding us of that. An aging Cab Calloway. He's no longer aging.
He's not here anymore?
Well, he looked kind of old in this video, and it was done quite a time ago. Like I look right now, actually. We are dealing with ain't necessary, not necessarily, necessity.
Are they really the same things? That's what I'm questioning. What is necessary and what is not necessary? And is that really the same as...
necessities?
Necessity.
That's what we're looking at.
Necessary. Necessity. It's a very interesting word. I wanted to look it up today. I wanted to go in the dictionary and look it up and see the exact definition of it. I got so busy that I was unable to do that, and maybe that was not necessary. What was necessary was to look up the word necessary.
Well, it's not too late.
That was ain't necessarily so.
This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, necessarily, broadcasting on this June 16th. It's a beautiful day here in Lupin Hood, which is our neighborhood, where we have trees everywhere. I'm looking out my window. The late afternoon sun is hitting the treetops. This is a beautiful time of day because the light is filtering through all those particles that gives it a kind of warm reddish tone.
Yeah. Ain't necessarily reddish. It's sort of kind of be yellowish, too.
It is. One of the things that I do here that I find a necessity, I guess it feels like a necessity. Let me ask you this. Is necessity the same as a compulsivity? Are they related? Do they lock in together? Does one give birth to the other? Which came first, compulsivity or necessity?
I think if something is necessary and you then won't be able to be here to talk about it if you don't get it. It has that kind of importance to life.
Necessary to sustain life.
That's the most necessary thing of all. Until that's no longer necessary.
Not necessarily. Because some people are just head on trying to eliminate life, like killing other people and stopping life.
But they're not doing it to themselves.
Some are.
What I'm saying is, the people who kill other people are usually doing that so they can stay alive and be on top.
For them, at least life in others is not a criteria. Maybe their own life is, or maybe it isn't. And then it's how you define life. For example, if you're someone who has a belief system that says you're going to be rewarded in some post-life experience, the more you get rid of the infidels.
People are infidels if they don't believe what you believe.
Not necessarily.
What makes them an infidel?
Not just they don't believe what I believe. My way of looking at it has been sanctioned by the authoritative one. It's been sanctioned and validated by authority.
Well, that's exactly what I said.
Oh, well, not necessarily.
You embellished it a lot. I took the essence of it and said what I said.
We're trying to come up with this whole idea of infidel because there's a lot of infidelness going on in this culture right now. A lot of infidelity. If you think about who's the infidel, and he's the one who's usurping.
Walking the wrong path.
But they're bad for walking the wrong path. There's no compassion in that point of view. And where's the compassion? The criteria for what is necessary is not necessarily life. I'm wondering if it's more about harmony.
That's the most necessary thing is harmony?
Professor, can you come in here for just a minute? This is Lord Umbridge, Professor. I would say that harmony is the very core of life. What is life anyway? This activity that's going on is being conducted by forces that are most all unconscious. Only the very minimum of things are conscious, just as you only see a very minimum amount of rays that are coming out of cosmos. You see light rays and width waves and X-rays. There's a whole slew of rays there that you're completely unmindful of. To be mindful that the criteria is that all this gets along with each other, while at equal criteria, I might point out, they all are expressing the freedom of their existence and the freedom of their will. The two working together, I would say, are the criteria, the fundamental unity. I would offer to say to you at this time, thank you.
It's necessary. Professor, you offer that as a criteria for what is necessary.
Exactly, my dear. What is the criteria to measure something's true and ultimate value, which would be the ultimate necessity? Think about it, ultimate values. You're landing yourself right square into the fundamental substance of existence. Which brings up a small point, the substance of existence. We'll return to that a little later.
Not necessarily a small point. Once again, I have to refer to evolution. What is necessary at a certain point in our development is not necessarily that important at another point in our development, because something else takes precedence. In other words, the very questions that we ask, like the mind as a periscope, reaching out and searching for meaning or place to anchor, so to speak, is something that doesn't happen in the early forms of evolution. The body's doing that, the physical body. We're more apt to be physical and then emotional, and then as we start evolving and the mind gets involved in conceptual, and then the higher mind gets involved, where we start feeling what's right for us on a deep level rather than trying to understand it or figure it out or something else. Wherever we are on the scale of evolution is perfectly right, because that's where we are. There's nothing wrong with being an infant. There's nothing wrong with being 2 years old, but you're not going to do things later in life that you do when you're 2 years old. You evolve to do other things. So there's no right or wrong here. That's the way it is. What's necessary for that infant is not necessarily necessary later on.
Not necessarily, Rochelle.
yes.
Because there's one thing that you're leaving out It's something I really want to address. And that is, everything you're saying, it don't mean a thing.
Don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do I, 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 do I. It don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing. Do I, 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 do I. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just get that rhythm, everything you've got. Oh, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do I, 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 do I. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do I, do I. Don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is swing. Do I, do I. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Get that rhythm, everything you've got. Step it up, nub, step it up, bop, bop, it in the ear. Don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing. Do I. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just get that rhythm, everything you've got. Don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is swing. Do it, don't mean.
That was someone I just discovered. And I like to discover new artists and share them with you in this program, new to me anyway. That was Nikki Yanofsky. I recommend that you go see her on the YouTube. That's where I found her. She was just lying there on the YouTube thing in the screen.
Not necessarily.
Oh. When you look at her, she's just this little pretty innocent young girl, and then she starts singing. She transforms into this incredible jazz singer that we just heard. I hope you enjoyed her and the band. They had the swing. Would you not agree?
I would agree that they have the swing, but it's not necessarily something that I think has meaning.
The swing.
I enjoy the swing, but it doesn't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I don't know. Now, unless the swing is what you're talking about, the harmony. Then if that swing is the harmony, then it will mean a great deal to you.
The swing is the back and the forth between the impulse toward expansion and freedom and ever more diversity, etc., and that other impulse, which is to the center, to the still place. As I like to say, God sits at the center of our turning. So if you think of the swing as finding that balance, there you are. If you're on a swing, it goes up one side. This is a slow motion swing, which is happening on a neighboring planet where gravity is different. So they actually have slow motion swing.
Not necessarily. Once again, it has to do with the way we define things. And the way we define things has to do with who we are. You define things the way you see them, and I define things the way that I see them. And this wonderful singer just defined everything by, if it ain't got a swing, it doesn't mean a thing. So that's her definition. Didn't necessarily, whoever wrote that song, find that that way. And who wrote that song anyway?
Someone like Cole Porter of that era. Back to the subject at hand. And speaking of hand, I'm so grateful that we now have opposable thumbs. There was a long time in evolution when our fingers were just all side by side. There was nothing opposing the other four. They felt limited. You can only do so much. But when we got that opposable thumb and you could like grab onto things from both sides, oh my God. See, the four finger grabbing on was from the top, but there was nothing on the other side. But then you get the thumb around.
Oh God.
Now, for those of you who can't
you
see
can hold
me,
the pipe in your hand.
I'm demonstrating like I'm holding a...
Let's say a cylinder.
But then they become binoculars, so they are opening my awareness into more particularity. And like a telescope, they're expanding my awareness into greater and greater aspects of ever-emerging originality in form.
That's amazing that you got from a cylinder to where you just went. No, opposable thumbs.
Not necessarily.
This started it all, these opposable thumbs.
Putting it into that context of evolution, I feel, is very helpful and can be important if, for example, sustainability of quality of life. Life as we know it, and the way we're abusing so much of our planet and resources on the planet and each other and the consequences of all that and sustainability, what we're saying is that we value sustainability in the future. On the other hand, there are people taking action where they don't seem to care. So they're not taking responsibility for the wake, the aftermath of their actions and how it affects those who are coming up behind them.
That's a very important point to make, take responsibility for the things we do. Let's say you are someone who advocates spontaneity. You just do what you do when you feel like doing it. The danger of that, which is something we live by a lot, is that you're not looking at the possible consequences. You're not bringing them into the now because they may never happen. But your mind can bring them into the now, and you can look at them like, okay, like a chess game. If I go here, then that person is going to go there and they're going to take my little rookie. So I'm going to take my rookie away and move my other thing so I won't get eaten up. That has validity too in life.
Not necessarily.
What do you mean, it doesn't have validity at all?
But you've raised a really important point, and that is, what is it that we actually value? We bring these into necessity, but they're constructs of the ego. We've talked about the egos, and by the way, we have egos. And I know Rochelle's about to say, not necessarily, but I want to head that off right now.
I didn't say it.
I know. The ego is this construct that is held together by my mind, my thoughts, of an image of who I think I am and how that relates to my image of what I think is going on out there, mostly back then, in the past. I surround myself with this thing. It's like multi-gift wrapping paper, one after another. Imagine you're just gift wrapping yourself with all these colors, and you're like 3 feet outside yourself, and that's your ego. And then you decide from that space, living in the outskirts of your being, is the way I like to put it. It's like living on a space station and interpreting what you think you need from that point of view, as opposed to living on the earth in your most authentic self, and then asking, what do I need? But you want to say not necessarily here?
Well, I could. I started to ponder what you were saying, really, and it's hard to ponder and talk at the same time.
Okay, listen, ponder for just a second, because I think it would be remiss if we didn't do this song.
Necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities, or Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found off my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few.
The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you. Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities. That's why a bear can rest at ease with just the bare necessities of life. Now when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, and you prick a raw paw, well next time beware. Don't pick the prickly pear by the paw. When you pick a pear, try to use the claw. But you don't need to use the claw when you pick a pear of the big pawpaw. Have I given you a clue? The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you.
That was Phil Harris.
I knew it was Phil Harris.
From the movie The Jungle Book. In that scene where he's singing that, the bear and the, I forgot the little boy's name, Jonathan Fielmacher?
No. The Jungle Book.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different Jonathan Fielmacher then. So, Inside Out, we are grateful to be sponsored by Go Raw. When I think of something that's really getting down to the essence, what Go Raw is and going to Sprouts, I mean, think about that. What's more essential in the food chain, certainly, than the point at which things sprout? Sprouting, amazing thing, how things sprout, and the whole concept that there's this contained thing like a seed, and yet cracks open and this amazing phenomenon emerges, which is some unique species.
Like us.
Yeah.
Seed broke open and there we were.
Yeah, that's right. That would be like us. I like that part. This little Bobby Joe. It makes me want to stay here and continue to have a really good time with y'all. I am always happy to be able to ponder with y'all. I like to ponder, and somehow you make pondering more fun. I like to have fun. Thank you.
I like that. I like that you called it pondering. That's probably the closest to what we do. We ponder. Pondering is asking questions, wanting to know. That's pondering. You just look at something and try and extract information from it, extract feeling from it, extract beauty from it.
Speaking of extracting, we're going to extract ourselves, because I just found out from the top down that we're going to have to sign out. Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Join us again next week. Here we go.
Remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Not necessarily. Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.